Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Chof Aleph. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We've been discussing until now in the Perek about Cain and Hevel, that they're whether they were twins, whether they weren't twins, that they had twin sisters born with them, and that's who they married, etc. Now we're going to get to the most famous story of Cain and the Hevel, about how basically that Cain ends up killing Hevel. Okay. So,
tell the Brazilian joke, did I?
What, the Brazilian joke?
Yeah, about Cain and Hevel. Okay, I'll tell you about it.
Okay. Higia lel yom tov shel Pesach. It says in the Medrash, Higia lel yom tov shel Pesach. It came the night of the yom tov of Pesach. Pashas, that means, it means the night before Erev Pesach. It's talking about the night before Erev Pesach. Omer lehem Adam Levanov. Adam Rishon said to his sons, "Bilel ze asidin Yisrael hakiv korbanos psachim." In Parakhof Aleph, by the words Higiel El Yom Tov. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. So Adam Rishon said to his sons, "Bilel ze asid in Yisrael hakiv korbanos pesachim." On this night, Klal Yisrael are destined to bring their korban Pesach. Hakrivu gamatem lefnei barachem. So you should also bring a korban Pesach. That's what he said to his sons, Cain and Hevel. So Pashtus, the way I understood it is that it's talking about the night before Erev Pesach. Because if Leil Yom Tov Shel Pesach means the night of Pesach itself, it's already too late to bring a korban Pesach. And it's not Bilel ze asidin to bring a korban Pesach. They would have brought it the afternoon before on Yadala, not on the night
maybe
of Tezvav.
Maybe Leil means like afternoon.
The afternoon of what?
Of Yudal going to Tesvav.
Right, so you would have to say that Yom Tov Shel Pesach doesn't mean Tesvav, it means Yudalid.
Yes, alright. When are they makrivin?
They're makrivin in the afternoon of Yudalid.
Okay.
So and then they eat it on the night of Tesvav.
Yeah.
But that's the lashon of the Torah. If you look in the Torah, whenever the Torah in all of Chumash, whenever it says the word Pesach, it's actually talking about Yud Dalet. What we call Pesach is not what the Torah calls Pesach. What we call Pesach is really what the Torah calls afterwards Chag HaMatzis. What the Torah calls Pesach is what we call Erev Pesach. What the Torah calls Pesach is the day that you bring the Korban Pesach, which is Yud Dalet. And the Targum Yonason also in Parashas Bereishis says that it's talking about. Okay, the Targum Yonason also says that it's talking about Erev Pesach. And okay, so the question is that he said that Adam Rishon said Bilel ze asid, and on this night they're gonna bring it, but you don't bring it. First of all, you don't bring it at night, so it doesn't mean night, right? But Lamaisa, I found in the Yalkut Shemoni, when it brings down this Medrash, it doesn't have the word Bilel Zeh. It just says, Asidin Yisrael HaHakiv Korbanos Pesachim. Pesachim, whatever. The Zayis Ranan on the Yalkut Shemoni also, he says that Leil Yom Tov Shel Pesach just means like Pesach time. It doesn't necessarily mean the day before, the day after. It just means around that time of the year. So Adam Rishon tells his sons that Adam Rishon tells his sons, you know, the Jews are going to bring a Korban Pesach, so you should also bring a Korban Pesach in front of Hashem. So what do they do? Hevi Kayin Meiser Macholoi. Kayin brought from the leftovers of his food Kloyois, toasted seeds of Zera Pishtan, of flax seeds. The toasted flax seeds of the leftovers of his food, that's what he gave. Mufarshim speak out. The Radal will say, did he give Meisr Macholoi or did he give Zera Pishtan? And here it sounds like both of them go together. It was Meisr Macholoi and Zera Pishtan. Yeah. And interesting, the Bais HaGadol brings from the Zohar, the Parashas Kedoshim, that if you take the word Karbon and you spell out the word Karbon, Karbon Kuf Reish Beis Nun, and you spell out the letters of the word, Karbon is Kuf Vav Pei, Karbon is Kuf Reish Beis Nun, Kuf is Kuf Vav Pei, Reish is Reish Yud Shin, Nun is Nun Vav Nun, so it spells out the word Pishtim. What? And the Beis is Beis Yotov, right? So the last letters of each of the letters, like the last letter of the last letter of spelling out Kuf is Pei, last letter of spelling out Reish is Shin, last letter of spelling out Beis is Tof, mm-hmm. and the last letter of spelling out Nun is Nun. Mm-hmm. So you get the word Pishtan. So if you spell out the word Korban, the last letter is Pishtan. So that I guess is a remark that like Pishtan, which is flax, is not such a chashuv of a thing to bring as a Korban. That's like the last thing you bring as a Korban. He doesn't say it like that, but Kubi, that's what he means.
Kain heard this voice, it didn't feel so wrong.
Vehevi hevel mebuchayis tsoinai umeichel beihen kvosim shalei nigzuzu latzemer. And what did Hevel bring? Hevel brought the firstborn of his flock, and from the fat of his kvasim, of his sheep, and his rams, whatever, that they were never sheared yet. He never cut their wool. That's what he brought out as carbon. So what happened? V'nisav minchas Kayin, v'nisritzeis minchas Hevel. Kadosh Baruch Hu looked at the mincha of Kayin, the carbon mincha, the present that Kayin brought to Hashem. Hashem looked at it as nisav. It was an abomination. V'nisrit says minchas hevel, but Hashem was appeased with the korban that hevel brought. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, v'yisha Hashem el hevel v'el minchosay. Hashem listened to hevel and to his mincha, but not to the hevel, to the korban of Cain and to his mincha. Hashem didn't listen to it. Hashem didn't want it.
The word shah means he turned to.
Shah, yeah.
He turned to it.
He heeded to it. The Mufarshim say that there was a sign that came from Shemayim that says that his korban was accepted. A fire came out or something else. And by Kayim's korban it wasn't. Okay. So Rabbi Leo Meizbir asks a few questions over here. There's some interesting things to think about. Rabbi Leo Meizbir, he wrote a pirush on Pirkei Deblazer called V'loy Oid Ella. So we sometimes say over some of his ideas. So he asked a question like this. Then what does the Medrash say? The other mission said to his two sons, "Oh, Klal Yisrael are going to bring a korban Pesach, so you should bring a korban Pesach." And what about he himself? But he's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. He's telling his sons what to do, but he's not doing it himself.
Wow!
Why didn't other mission do it?
Well, maybe he wants his son to be a shliach for him.
Okay.
Maybe he did it. He said he did it.
We don't find that he did. But what was like? So what was he telling them? Why was he telling them dafka to do it? What was he trying to tell them to do?
Well, how did he get over this?
Whatever, I don't know. The second question is, what was Cain thinking? Like, why did he dafka bring from the leftovers foods, and why dafka pishtan? Like, what did he think?
What was so bad about his korban banish also?
Well,
also, what was so bad? Okay,
you could ask also, what was bad about his korban?
Yeah, that was that also so bad at this point.
So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Izmir answers like this. We said earlier in this parak, we said that From Sheis, all of Nisyachsu called Daris HaTzadikim. All the Tzadikim are Miyuchas to Sheis, the son of Adam Rishon that wasn't born yet, that we're going to speak about in the next parak. And from Kayin,
Who says that?
This earlier in this parak, in the Medrash.
Wow. Okay.
Masha'enkin, all the Rishoyim, it says, are Miyuchas to Kayin. Because Cain was because we said that Cain was married, he rebelled against Hashem, and he said, "Einanu tzrichim letipas kishamecha." We don't need the drop of your rain. So all the Rishonim that say that, they're miyuchas, they're connected to Cain. That's what I said earlier in this parak. So Rabbi Yomi Izmir says like this: it says the Mitzrayim, we find that the Mitzrayim also said the same idea. That the Mitzrayim, there's a medrash in Isis Rabbi Kiva Ois Kuf. It says, "Amar Paro the Moshe Aaron." Paro said to Moshe Aaron, "Atem Ayrim Shalekeichem married Tal Umotar." You say that your God brings down the rain and the dew. Halchva Yeshli Nilus Nor Shu Yetsi Mitachas Eitzachayim Umemo Isporchis. Well, I don't need it because I already have the Nile River, and the Nile River overflows and that supplies all the water that we need in Mitzrayim. So I don't. So you're saying the godless of your God is that He gives rain? I don't need your God, right? So that's exactly what the Medrash says earlier in the parak has to do with Kayin. So you see, there's a connection between Paro and Mitzrayim and Kayin. So it says like this. And also, I just noticed this in the Haftarah of the first day of Sukkot. So it talks about that all the people that didn't come to Yerushalayim to be oil of the regal for sukkah, all the goyim, they're going to have some disease that all their limbs are going to fall off or whatever. Right? And then afterwards, when it says that when Mashiach comes and there's going to be one malchus over the whole world, so it says that all the goyim that don't come for Pesach, that don't come to Beis Hamikdash for sukkahs, so Hashem said, I'm not going to give them rain. That's what it says in the pasuk. And then it speaks out Mitzrayim. So in Mitzrayim, the lashon in the pasuk is loy aleihem, not upon them. And the machlekes Rashi in the Radak, what that means? Does that mean that they're also going to have this magefa that happened to the people that originally didn't go to El Arego, that their limbs are going to fall off, or does it mean that just the rain is not going to fall on them? That. That even though, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that even though Mitzrayim has the Nile River and they don't need rain, but Lo Yaleihem means that the Nile is not going to overflow for them. Uh-huh. So it doesn't mean that the Nile is not going to overflow, or they're going to have that same Magefa. That's Machlokes Rashi and Radak. But the Navi Zechariah speaks out that all the goyim, that they need rain, so the rain's not going to fall for them. And Mitzrayim, that doesn't need rain, so something else, lo yaleihem, whatever that means exactly. So that's the same thing over here, that Mitzrayim is saying that we don't need Hashem's rain. Okay. So, it says, so Rabbi Leo Mitzvah says like this, Adam Rishon, when he told them to bring in Karbanos, so he was trying to test out to see, you know, I'm going to tell them over the story of the Sipur Yetzius Mitzrayim and see what happens. Who's going to take which side? You know, is Cain going to be sympathetic for the Jews, or is he going to be sympathetic for Paro and Mitzrayim? Right. So when Adam Rishon told over this whole thing to Cain and Hevel, so what was Cain's reaction? Right. So we said that Cain is kashur to Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim said we don't want the reign of Hashem. We said that everyone who says we don't want the reign of Hashem is connected to Cain. Right? So Cain, when he saw this, when he heard about this story, so he was upset about it. He was upset about the Indian of its sister's time. Right? So that's why he brought the bad karbanos. So it's like a bazillion. I don't care that the Jews are going. I don't want them to go out of Mitzrayim. So I gave him a bad karban.
Why was he upset?
What?
Why was he upset?
Because it was against him. Because Cain is a Mitzrayim. Cain is like the proto Mitzri.
Even
right, he had Rachmanis on the Mitzrayim, right?
Because of his ideology, not because of Rachmanis.
No, right, because of his ideology.
They're representing his ideas. We don't need rain, we don't need anything.
But
Bnei Yisrael said that Yeshua Elokim bought him. So I think it's because of ideology. They really care about
the. Shalom Aleichem. So, Rashi and Parshas Bereishis by the word Pishon, and what Pishon was one of the four rivers that came out. So Rashi says that the Pishon is the Nilus, that's the Nile River. Why is the Nile River called Pishon? So Rashi said because it's Megadol Pishton. So you see a connection between the Nilus and being Megadol Pishton. So Pishton is like, you know, that's like the national fruit of Mitzrayim. That flax is like their spitz thing. So that's why Kai and Dafka about Pishtan, because he's kashur to Mitzrayim, to Paro. And then he brings, Rabbi Yomi Izmir brings that this is a famous idea that's brought in a lot of the early Mukubalim already, when we talk about the Indian of Gilgulim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the Gilgul of Hevel. That Rabbeinu Bachai says that, and the Zohar says that. In fact, they say that Moshe is Rishi Tevis, Moshe Sheis Hevel. Moshe Sheis and Hevel are all of one neshama. That it's all one Gilgal.
What
Eliyahu Navi?
Could be.
I don't know. This is what the Mepharshim say.
Hevel was born again.
The Rabbi Yom Yisrael bring the Arizal that Cain was a Gilgal of the Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed. That's a show we'll see later on in the paragraph.
Gilgal was controlled the other way also.
You mean you're asking? Does it matter which way in history it works? What's the order in history?
I thought Gilgal was third place. You can't be a Gilgal. You can't be a Gilgal of.
When we say Gilgal, it means that they had the same neshama. So if it's the same neshama, it doesn't matter which way. I think so. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we say that Kain has to do with Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim. And then I found mamish the same vart, more or less, in the sefer Sifsei Kain al Torah. from a Mordechai Kohen of Tzfas. I mentioned him a few times. He's one of the Talmidim of the Arizal in Parshas Bereishis. He writes that when Cain heard, he brings the picket of Eliezer, basically, and he says that when Cain heard about Mapalta and Shalparei and the Indian of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, so he brought Dafka, he brought from the produce of the land as his korban. Why? Because Ofar, the dirt, is the same oasis, Ha'ofar, the dirt, is the same as the oasis of Parei. So he wanted to bring the dirt, the Pishdan, as a tikkun for Parei. He was on Parei's side. And so why Dafka Pishdan also? Because in the end of Parshas Va'era, we see that the Pishdan was affected by Makas Barad. So he was doing this as like a special tefillah that like the Pishdan should be affected by Makas Barad. That's what Cain was trying to do by bringing this. But Hevel, on the other hand, what did Hevel bring? Hevel brought Mibucharis Sinai from the firstborn. Why? Because Hevel was doing it, he was happy that Klai Yisrael was going out of Mitzrayim, and when he heard about the Indian of Makas Bucharis, so he said, oh, I'm going to bring a cover to give a remes to the Indian of Makas Bucharis, that the Jewish Bucharis were saved and the Mitzri Bucharis were killed. So that's why he brought Tafka Mibucharis Sinai.
But there's a common patient, it's a sheep.
What?
The Korban Pesach
also is a sheep, yeah. Right, let's go weiter. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Eimer. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yisarvu Minchas Kayin VeHevel Olam. This that Kayin brought and this that Hevel brought, the types of korbanos that they brought, should never be mixed. Meaning the let's say the wool from the sheep of Hevel and the flax from the flax seeds of Kayin should never be mixed. Shema Chas V'Shalom Yisarvu Be'erek Beged, because maybe Chas V'Shalom they're going to be mixed together in the weaving of a clothing. Shneba says the pasuk Le'Silba Shatnez V'Gomer. You shouldn't wear shatnez. So that's the source of the Indian of shatnez. Kedua the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim says that the Indian of shatnez is that the Avdei Avodah Zarah they used to dafka wear shatnez. So the Torah is coming Lafuke the Avdei Avodah Zarah they dafka wear shatnez. So we dafka don't wear shatnez. But here it's saying a different Indian that we don't want to mix together the korban of Kain and the korban of Hevel. Says the Medrash, I feel he merukaves lo yal alecha. Even if it's merukaves. We'll explain what that means in a moment. There's different gersois. You shouldn't put it upon you. Shnema, it says in the pasuk, "Uveged klaim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha," and a beged klaim, a beged of mixture, a clothing of mixture, shatnez lo ya'ale alecha, shouldn't be put upon you. So what does it mean, merukaves? So the first, I have a few explanations. One pshat, merukaves, the Radal says, is referring to it's like. It's riding on you. You're not wearing it. It's sort of riding on you. Like these guys, that, like they wear their jacket, but they don't put their hands in the sleeves, so it's just like hanging on their shoulder.
Like a carrier.
Yeah. You sort of like you're carrying it.
Right.
So you're just carrying it. You're just carrying it. That you're not allowed to wear it like that either. Because it says lo yal alecha. Besides lo silbash, there's also lo yal alecha. It shouldn't go upon you. Then he says that no, but the lashon of merukaves doesn't sound like it's riding on you. It sounds like you're riding on it. So then he wants to say that maybe it's talking about the iser of, let's say, using a carpet made out of shatnez. So the Gemara says in Maseches Beah that it's also to have like a carpet or a mattress made out of shatnez. Mebonon, because even though it's not going on you, you're going on it. But maybe one of the strings or something is gonna curl up and go on top of you, and then it'll be over the iser of layal alacha. So therefore, you're not allowed to go on top of it. So he says that maybe that's what the Medrash is talking about over here. Then he brings another girsa, instead of merukaves with a chaf, it's merukaves with a kuf, meaning like spoiled. That's coming to tell you that even if you have something that's like mamish spoiled, like a beged that let's say has like mold on it or something like that, it still has the issur of shatnez. You're not allowed to wear it. And then first, there's a very interesting halachic discussion about this in the Shailos Teshuvos Halachas Ketanas Chelik Beis. Simon Lamed Daled, where he discusses like that they used to make paper out of like or like moldy or like old flax. So it's like could you like tie that to something that's made out of wool? So he wants to say that according to the Medrash over here that it's usher.
To bring an explanation of why is it so bad to mix the two korbans?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't really talk about that.
Right, we can imagine. Try to think.
Yeah.
To explain why it's not so good.
Not sure exactly.
The two midas and whatever, but we don't know.
Then the Radal brings another gerset at the end of the shtickle. Radal says instead of murkeves, it's murkemes, embroidered. And says that even if it's embroidered, you're not allowed to wear it. But he says, v'gamze ene nochen klal. He says, that's not the right gerset of the klal. That's what the Radal says. Well, the Meister of Chaim Kanevsky, I guess, is chalik on the Radal. And he says, no, that's the ikker gerset in the Medrash over here. V'chaim Kanevsky in Derech Emuna, in Hilchus Klaim, Perek Yud, Halacha Beis, in the Bir Halacha Dibur Maschel Levodim, he says, no, the Iker Gerst is Mu Kemes, even if it's embroidered. Meaning, let's say you have a beged that's made out of, let's say, flax or something, right? It's made out of linen. And then you embroider on it in cotton, or maybe or vice versa, you embroider like a words or a name or something like that. So even though you're not getting hanaf from the name or the words that's written on it, the letters, still you're not allowed to wear it because the maisa has shatnas on it. What?
That's the biggest
chiddush.
I'm asking. That's why.
I don't know.
Because it's not woven together. So it's like something on top.
But that's why it's the biggest chiddush. That's like why it's you wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
It could be. Later. Rabbi Tzadik says, "Nichnasa kina v'sina gedola b'liba shel kayin." Jealousy and great hatred came into the heart of Cain, Ashen Nisratis Minchose Shel Hevel, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu accepted was appeased from the Korban of Hevel. V'loy oid, and not only that he was jealous because of the Korban, Ela Shehaisa Ishtay Tuma Yofa Banoshim. Also, the extra twin that Hevel had, his wife, Hevel's wife, was the most beautiful of all the ladies. And Hevel and Cain wanted to marry her. So Omar, Cain said, there are two things that caused Cain to be upset at Hevel. One is that Hevel's korban was accepted and his wasn't. And the other one is that Hevel's wife was very beautiful and he wanted to marry his brother's wife.
This is the most
says, Yofa Banashim. Of all the women in the world.
Then, right?
Yeah, in the Chanami. The only three women in the world.
The mother.
No. That
was one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. Right?
Yeah, that's the one above
us. Yeah. She's even more beautiful than that.
Yeah, I guess so. Or since Chava's his mother, so wasn't the guy. I don't know. Omar, so Cain said, "Ani hayeges Hevel achi. I'm going to kill my brother Hevel. Vayekachas ishta. I'm going to take his wife." Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayemer Cain el Hevel achi." Cain said to his brother Hevel, "What did he say exactly? You'll have to see in a moment." Vayi b'yaisam basoda. When they were in the field, he got up and he killed him, basically. Well, the first one speak out an interesting idea over here that Rabbi Leo Meisner points this out. It's a passionate idea. The two ideas of why was Cain upset at Hevel seem to be contradictory. Because on the one hand, he's saying, I'm such a tzaddik, Shem should have accepted my carbon. So I'm upset that he didn't accept my carbon. Right? That's on one hand. On the other hand, he's saying, I'm such a prusta guy that I want to marry my brother's wife, so therefore I'm going to go kill him. So it's like which one is the real Cain?
He claimed to be a tzaddik if he's such a rasha.
Right. So I think that Be'emes, the Bali Musa, would say that it's b'chol not a question.
Arabs are the same thing.
Arabs?
Arabs are the same thing.
What?
They're extremely religious and they're all Hasidim, they all dress like the Tznius.
Yeah, the Rambam. The Rambam. The Rambam says that the Arabs are the most pressed people, even though they're
also non-government. They have the highest wishes in the world, but they walk around with their robes and they're priests and they're this or whatever. They're very religious people.
They're
high
people.
Oh, I'm talking. So, Beliam Ezra says, The first point wasn't that he was trying to say, oh, I'm such a tzaddik, Hashem should have accepted my korban. The fact that Hashem didn't accept his korban, that didn't really bother him as much as the fact that Hashem accepted Hevel's and didn't accept his. That's the point. He was just jealous. It was completely just jealous of his brother. He wasn't trying to say that Hashem should have accepted my korban.
Yeah.
He's like, fine, don't accept my korban, but don't accept his.
What?
And The Radal says in parentheses that the name Cain has to do with Kina, Cain, Kina. Okay. Well, so it said in the pasuk, "Vayemer Cain el Hevel Achiv." Cain said to his brother Hevel, "Vayi b'yosim basoda." And it was when they were in the field. So what did he say to him? It doesn't say what he said to him. So Parsha Pshat is that he said to him words. The Pirush Ran Altar, other Mufarshim say this. He said to him words to try to get him away from Adam. And then, like, once he's far away from, like, so his father's not watching anymore, then he could go kill him. That's one pshat. The Targum Yenison says a whole different pshat. that he had a whole vikuach with him. I forgot to bring it, but he had a whole vikuach with Cain with Hevel, and he was trying to say to Hevel, you know, it's not fair. Leis din v'leis dayin. Hashem doesn't really care about the world. He doesn't intervene with the world, because otherwise he would have accepted my korban. It doesn't make sense. Whatever. And he became apikurus, and then he went and he killed Hevel. Bali Musa speak about this, that first Cain, who was a Navi, he speaks to Hashem. Hashem is going to ask him, like, where is your brother? So, like, he speaks mamish to Hashem, like, face to face. So he became a kaifer. He said, "Leis din v'leis dayin." But the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, what time is it? You want to put your watch over here so I can, like, keep track of the time?
Seder.
Kol tov. Okay. So, shkoyach for coming. So the Medrash, now Zevi stuck, huh? The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha of Beis, Eis Zion, it says, Amel hayu medanim, what were Cain and Hevel arguing about? Amru, they said, Boyu v'nach leikas olam. They said, well, let's go and split up the world. One's going to take the land, and one's going to take the metaltalin. Right? And then the one that took the land said, hey, you're on my land. So the other one said, you know, you're wearing my clothing. Another one said, take off your clothing. Another one said, no, fly in the air because you're on my land. So it didn't work out, and they got into a fight like that. The other pshat, Rabbi Shul, the Siklin, B'shem Rabbi Levi, Amar. No, really, they split up the land and they split up the metaltalin, and that was in the machlekes. What was the machlekes? They were arguing about in whose land should be the Beis HaMikdash be built. He was saying, the Beis HaMikdash should be built by me. He's saying the Beis HaMikdash should be built by me.
Where was the Cain land located?
Yehuda. I don't know. It doesn't say.
Yehuda and Binyamin, right?
What?
Yehuda and Binyamin.
Yehuda and Binyamin, yeah. But this is like way after. Because
yeah,
the pasuk says...
Right there over here, almost, you have to say, it wasn't because he didn't want the Beis HaMikdash to be built in his land, according to that pshat before. He didn't want
it in his land. And because the pasuk says, "Vayi b'yaisem basada ve'en sada ela Beis HaMikdash," right? Vayi tzayisach lasuach basada, right? Fine, that's another pshat. Actually, the Medrash brings a different pasuk. Tzion sada techoresh. It doesn't bring that pasuk that I said. Fine. Another pshat. Yehuda bar Ami Amar. What were they arguing about? Achava rishena hayu medainim. They were arguing about the real chava. So what's this original chava idea? So the main mafreshim on the Bereish Rabbah, the Marzu, the Eitz Yosef, and the Rashash all point to a different Medrash earlier in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, where it says that originally Kodesh Baruch Hu created a chava when Adam Rishon was awake, and he saw that she was like full of blood and this and that, and he was disgusted by her and he didn't want to marry her. So Hashem sort of like put her to the side, and then he created another chava when Adam Rishon was sleeping, right? And that's the one that he married. So what happened to the first one? So that was this machlekes. So the Medrash is saying that was the machlekes kind of hevel. What happened to the first? Who gets to marry the first one? And then Omer Rabbi Evo says no. Chava Rishena chozer l'afora. No, the first chava she went back. She was. Oh, the other pshat in Chava Rishena was the Matnas Kuna says that after the original chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so Hashem took her away from Adam and said, no, you're not allowed to be married to him anymore as an Einish, and he created a new Chava, and that's the one that Adam Rishon married, and that Chava that ate from the Eitz Hadas, she wasn't married to Adam Rishon. Right? So then the Machlekes is who gets to marry her. Okay. But then the Medrash says, no, Chava Rishon Chozer L'Afor. Rabbi says that the original Chava went back to dust. She got killed afterwards or whatever. So what was the Machlekes? It didn't kind of have it. There was an extra twin with Hevel, and each one was saying, I should get to marry. Our Medrash doesn't say extra twin, it just says a twin of Hevel. But here it says an extra twin. So Hevel married one of his twins, Cain married his twin, and there was an extra twin. The shadow is, who does that extra girl go to? Does it go to Cain or does it go to Hevel? Ze'amar, ani neidlosh, ani b'chor. So Cain said, I should marry her, because I'm a b'chor.
You say Hevel's a prostitute mensch also.
Yeah. Kind of saying.
So all the time that he was fighting.
No. Maybe Hevel's a good taina. But maybe what Rabbi Bates is going to say that Hevel is really the Bukhar. But Kain is saying that I get her because I'm the Bukhar. I was born first. Bezalmar and Hevel says, no, Anina Itla. I should marry her. Chanel de Imi. Because she was born with me, so I get to marry her. Because the Indian is that you marry your twin sister. Right? So he's the Bukhar. So we said last week, Rabbi Beis Tainted last week, that maybe when you have two, if you learn that Cain and Hevel were twins, then when you talk about twins, it could be that the second one born is really the Bukhar, because he was the first one to go in. Like Rashi says by Yaakov and Esau. So could be
the first tipa, the
grod. The grod that the Netziv says the grod didn't say it. And, yeah.
Because he didn't zig?
You know that girl?
No, I'm just asking. It sounds interesting.
Isn't it a tziv? I think it's a tziv that he didn't say it.
That he says something, then he says they didn't take.
No, they bring down B'Shem the Gra in Parshas Kiseitze, that the Gra has like a whole vort that B'char is not totally in the order of when you're born, but it's totally in the order of when you're conceived. So if you were conceived before you were a brother, let's say you have two wives, right? So one wife conceives first, and then the other wife conceives, and then the one that conceives second gives birth first, and then the one that conceives first gives birth second. So who's the B'char? So the Gra has like a whole vort in the Pasuk of Kisein Al Ishtei Noshim, that the one who's conceived first is really the Bukhar.
And how do you know that?
Yeah, that's another question. How do you know that?
The Nitziv afterwards said that God never said it.
So it's a famous word that they bring from the Gra, and the Nitziv says, and Haim Maktav over there, I think it's the Nitziv, says that the Gra didn't say it. Because it's connected to the Pashas of the Gemara that it's Tali and...
We may know.
Yeah.
But so who's the one that brought it down?
We may know.
What?
Who's the one that brought it down?
It's brought down in all the Likud Tzvam that bring from the Gra, like Pidina Mishulchan Gra and Kol Aliyo, these type of things.
We don't know, they know.
Fine.
We don't know.
Right, okay, so it says, Vahipa Yosem Basoda, they were in the Soda. Ve'en Soda Isha, Soda means Isha, Shinimshala Kasoda. Because a woman is comparable to a field. Shinema, says the Pasuk, Ki Ha'adam Eitz Soda. This has to do with sort of what we talked about in the beginning of the parak, that we said that Adam is Nimshal Ka'eitz. So a woman is like a field. So it says B'ez and Basada. They were discussing about the Sada. What was the Sada? The Sada is that extra, that twin of Hevel. We find this also in a few other places in Chazal. By Esau, in at least two places, we find Chazal tell us that Sada is referring to Isha, Pashtus. It says by Esau that Esau was Ish Sada. And Chazal tell us that he was mafkar himself to be lehibarl like an isha. So where does that? Where do you see that in the words sada? So that's a medrash rabba. Esav. Esav. Parsha Samach Gimel Simin Tes. And also another medrash by Esav. It says vayav Esav minasada. So in Bereshis Rabba, Parsha Chav Beis, it says that Esav was bal nara mirasa on that pasuk. Vayav Esav minasada. Okay.
Born what?
Nara mirasa. Betrothed lad, right. Lattice, whatever.
A
girl who was like supposed to about to get married. Yeah.
But the second one's a much better right. Now the first one just means he was mafkir himself.
Yeah, but okay, I hear.
But definitely he was doing that over time.
Esav, yeah, he was a sick man. Right,
that's where your occupation was.
Lokach Evan. So what did Cain do? Lokach Evan, he took a rock, v'tibba b'mitzchah shel Hevel v'harogei, and he was teveya it into the forehead of Hevel, and he killed him.
Why is killer?
One second. Tibba is like, the word tibba is very hard to translate, so I didn't translate it properly. Let's say he sunk it into the head of Hevel. The word teva is a very interesting word. In Chazal, it means either like tova, like to sink or to drown.
The word.
Or it means also to mint, like to stamp. And then in the time of the Rishonim, they took the word teva to mean nature.
Right.
It doesn't really mean that in Chazal and the Tanakh, it doesn't really mean that. They took it to mean nature because like nature is something that's like stamped, it's like ingrained into the world. It's sunk into the world, yeah.
No, you get sunk into nature.
Yeah.
You get sunk into teva.
Yeah. Moshe Shapiro has like a whole vort that drowning is like the most tevadik way of dying or something. I don't know. I heard this once about a vort by Chanukah, Zedim Tibata. I don't remember exactly the whole vort.
But you know, Hasidus explained that when you put something in water, it gets covered.
It gets covered.
Yeah, so the garden gets covered by the nature because it happens all the time. It comes like a regular thing.
Right. And also the Targum Yonasan also says that he took a rack and threw it in his forehead. But Shinema says the Pasuk Vayakum Kain al Hevel Achiv Vayagel. Kain got up upon his brother Hevel and he killed him. But Rabbi Yochanan says Lehaya Yodea Kain Shah Nisteris Glorious of Neamokim. Kain did not know that the hidden things were revealed in front of Hashem. Me also, what did he do? Notel es Nivlosa Shal Achiv Vachofar. V'toman Isay Baretz. He took the carcass of his brother, and he dug and he hid it in the land. Mufarshim say over here, take out the word dug. Just say he hid it in the land. We'll see later on why we have to take out the word v'chafar. So he hid it. He put it somewhere that's like in a hidden place. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, "Ei Hevel Achicha, where is your brother Hevel?" Amar Lefanav, so Cain said to him, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Shomer Sadeh V'chayem Samtani, you made me the guardian of a field and of a vineyard. Shema Ochi Lo Samtani, but you didn't make me the guardian of my brother." Shenamar, it says the pasuk, "Hashem Ochi Anochi, am I my brother's guardian?"
Keeper.
Am I my brother's keeper? The way the Radal explains it is that, am I my brother's keeper? Meaning, I'm a keeper, but just not my brother's keeper. That's the mashmaus of the Medrash. I'm some keeper. So he's trying to kind of sort of saying like, I'm too busy watching my field and my vineyard. I can't keep track of my brother. I have to keep an eye on this stuff. You want me to watch him too? I don't know where he is. That was his way of getting out of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Harachatzta gam shamati?" You killed? The way I would read it is like this. "Harachatzta, no, you killed him. Gam shati killed me achara tzoyakim elai. Also, I heard the voice of your brother, the voice of the blood of your brother calling out to me." Some of Farshim changed the gist of "Harachatzta gam yorashta." You killed him and you also yashened him. Called me achira tzoyakim elai. I'm not sure exactly how that reads so well, but that's what it is. Oh, God, I forgot to mention that the Mepharshim said that how he killed him. So we said that he threw a rock at his forehead.
Rashi quoted something different, no?
So
Rashi and Chumash says he didn't know it.
Right, Rashi brings the Medrash Rabbah that says that he shechted him from the neck. He shechted him on the neck. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that Cain couldn't figure out where the neshama comes out of the goof. So he was like making holes all over Hevel's body until his neshama came out. He couldn't figure out where the neshama comes out.
Neshama is on a vehicle of blood.
Right.
Once
that's
you take
true.
Out a vehicle of blood, then the neshama is out.
Yeah. Is that really true though? If you take out a vehicle of a person's blood, he can't live?
No.
Nowadays, I think you could
take out a pint.
You could take out a pint. A pint is more
how
than a beer, no?
Yeah,
that's the price.
They call the mei achecha. That's much more geshmak with a lot of holes.
Well,
a lot of blood.
Yeah.
If you just sunk him in the ground after putting the thing in his head, it's not really.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention this. The Zohar in Parshas Bereishis on page Reish Lamed Aleph from an Aleph. So the Zohar says that Cain bit him, and he was biting him all over like a snake. And it says about this, we say Kol Dovar Chozer LiYisodei, because Cain was born from the snake, like we said in the beginning of the parak.
Oh.
So Cain started taking on the traits of a snake, and he was biting his brother.
Wow.
So there's different. That also Mamash makes a lot of blood. Fight. Kevin Shishama Kain Hadover Nival. So when Hashem said to him, "I hear your brother, I hear the blood of your brother crying," so Kain was scared. The Eroi HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed him, Shia Neidei Ba'aretz, that he should be moving, always moving around in the land, Ashfichos Domim Ve'amoves Ra, because of two things wrong that Kain did. One is because he was a murderer, Shfichos Domim, he spilled blood, he killed. And also, Al Amavis Ra, on the Misa Mishuna that he gave to Hevel, that he made holes all over him. It was a bloody scene. So because of that, Cain got a curse. He's gonna have to be unsettled in the world and always be moving around.
So that would
Mida Kenegin Mida, right? But the Pir Sharan, show him. The Pir Sharan Alatera says an interesting idea. I just saw this a few days ago. I have to think about exactly how it works out. But he says that the einish of a person who's a murderer is usually golos, right? So he says so really, Cain should have gotten golos. The only thing is that when Cain, the time and place where Cain was living, there was no such thing as a set settlement. They didn't live in any specific place. So you can't say like, okay, you live in Beitar, so if you move to Hebron, you're in Golos. Because you didn't live in Beitar, you lived wherever you had to live. Right? So Cain, so his Golos was, he's not allowed to live in any particular place. He had to always move around the world. That's the Golos. That's the Ritzach gets Golos, so this is his Golos. I don't know, because Cain worked the land, so what land did he work? So I have to know exactly how that works out.
How can you do tshuva if you're such a kleifer?
Huh?
How can you do tshuva if you're such a kleifer?
Everyone can do tshuva.
No, but you...
It's never a question, how can someone do tshuva?
No, I'm saying he did tshuva. He was a kleifer, wasn't even at the end.
No, the truth is that the way of Chaim Shulev, it's in his famous shmuz, about Cain, uh-huh. The way he says it, it's like, you don't have to say that Cain was really a kafir. It's just that because he was like so shocked, and like he didn't chap what was happening, and like it was bihilos, and everything was happening so fast, and he didn't realize, so he started going down, and he went really down, and he ended up saying things that...
But I thought the Rishonim Kapur were just saying, and he's not trying, he did tshuva, anyone can do tshuva, but it's like, He represents all the Rishonim, but he did tshuva, it's a theory.
Yeah, I hear.
Yishmael, okay, we understand, he did tshuva, but Bea came out of him, that's fine, but we wouldn't say that by Kain, we were saying more he represents Ra.
Like, well, epitome of evil.
Let's see what the manager says about his tshuva. So at this point it says, Amar Kain, Amar Kain, lefanav, Rebbein Ha'ilamim, Cain said in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Master of the Universes, "Gadol avoni min soi she'en bekapara. My avera is so great, I can't bear it, and there's no kapara for it." That's what he said. Those are the words he said. It's so horrible, what it is so horrible, that there's no way for me to get a kapara. And the Medrash says, "V'nech shavu yadav razek k'tshuva." He admitted that he did something bad. That's already considered like a tshuva. But the Radal says this, and Rabbi Yomi Israel also says this, that it wasn't really tshuva. It's like it's nachshav like a tshuva. It's like sort of like tshuva.
That's why he had this like pshara. Yeah.
So he lost. He lost the nod, right?
Yeah.
He just had lost the nod and just had the nod. Rabbi Yomi Israel brings the famous Gemara in Yuma that says that if a person was nichshal in avera. Right, so you're not really mekayim tshuva unless you're in the same place, the same time with the same woman, so to speak, right? And you don't do the avera, then you, that's tshuva shlema. The Rambam passes that, yeah. But that's true on the one hand. On the other hand, the mabit in Shari Tshuva, and basically Kim in Shari Tshuva, Perek Yud Beis, I think it is, says that even part of tshuva is also called tshuva. It's just a vidui without chorata, or chorata without vidui, or this, or that, whatever. Each part itself is the Mabit says that tshuva is, the mitzvah of tshuva is not like the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis, if you have three corners, you're not mekayem mitzvah. You have four corners, you're mekayem mitzvah. Tshuva has all kinds of different parts, but each part is already a kiyum of the...
So he did something. Yeah. He could be the biggest Rosh Hashanah of all
time. So he has some sort of tshuva.
Something, that can happen to Nakash also, okay.
V'loy oid. Okay, so one thing he said that my avera was so bad that I can't bear it. V'loy oid. Furthermore, ela yamed achad ba'aretz v'yazke shimcha gadol v'yargeni. Now, Cain is saying to Hashem, I'm scared. What's going to happen? Somebody in the land is going to get up and he's going to say the Shem Hashem, yazke shimcha gadol, and he's going to kill me with it. Right. So what am I going to do? By the way, the Mefarshim say that this here is mamish mefurish. That Cain was a Gilgal, not Mamish Beforish, but it points to the idea that Cain was a Gilgal of that Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed. Because how did Moshe Rabbeinu kill that Mitzri? I think we spoke about this in Perek Mem Ches, that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to him the Shem Beforish, and the guy got killed. So Cain is worried that that's going to happen to him. And yeah, that did happen to him, just like generations later. Right? Rabbi Israel says this, and also the Radal says this.
The expression in Rashi is
It says Vayif and Kovel Chay is the lash of the pasuk. Right. Rashi says Nav and Nod. I don't remember.
So that means he was looking to see whether anything good would come out of it.
Right. So what did Hashem do? Notal ois achas me esim rishtayim ois shebetorah. Hashem took one letter from the 22 letters of the Torah. The kosov azroyei shel Kain shelo yehareg. And he wrote that letter on the forearm of Kain so that Kain won't get killed. Shenema, it says in the pasuk, vayosam Hashem lekain ois. Hashem gave for Kain ois that this letter or whatever, this will be a simon that I'm protecting you. It doesn't say what the letter is. Rather in Targum Yonason, here it says one of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. In Targum Yonason it says one of the letters of the Shem Hashem. It doesn't say which letter it is. And in Targum Yonason it also says that it was written on his forehead, not on his arm. The Radal says that the whether you're going to learn like the Pirkei de Belezer or like the Targum Innocent, it's for sure in the Makom Letfilin. Just the Shaila is, was it the Tefillin Shel Reish or the Tefillin Shel Yad? And then he wants to say that somehow it's this Machlokes of where it was is totally on, is it from the Aleph Beis of the Shem Hashem, but I didn't exactly understand how he said it. But the interesting question is, what letter was it? Yeah. What letter did Hashem give Kain as Ois? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer L'Machasa Atik in Parshas Bereishis brings a whole bunch of different midrashim of what the letter, different explanations of what was the ice.
So
it could be Isav Ksevus Kaka is doing a mice of Ksevus Kaka. If it came divinely, so then yeah, could be.
It's like he's born with
it's like being Masarius the Levyasin or something. The Medrash HaGadol from Teman says it was the ice tough. The Yalkut Ruveni B'Shem Sefer Tagin says it was an Ois Tes. Meishiv Zekeim says it was a Yud. And the Tikkuni Zayar says it was a Vav. Okay? Those are the different letters. And then in Bereishis Rabbah it says other things that Hashem gave over. His Riachle HaShemesh, that the sun would protect him by shining at people. Or he had a special Tsaras that made people stay away from him. Or Shechin that made people stay away from him.
What the Tshuva Tu Roi for him.
Yeah. The Hashem protects him.
Yeah, he gave him
a even though it was like a little bit of Tshuva.
Yeah.
Kol Shechin, if a person does real Tshuva. A Kalev, the Medrash says that Hashem gave him a dog that would like chase off people. Or that he grew a horn, Kain grew a horn, maybe. Karen his smiach like a different pshatim. Yeah, what were you gonna say?
Okay, that what were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
The letter that
we're talking about.
That Hashem gave Kain the ability to survive over his illness.
Right.
Because he's only too much. So Hashem could have killed him and put him in the ground, right? But really, he kept him alive.
I
enduring punishment.
See, he got what he was asking for. Right. He said, I can't bear the Oynish. No. So Hashem said, okay, I'll help you out. Now you can bear the Oynish. He didn't. Hashem didn't say, I'm taking away the Oynish. He's saying, here, yeah, okay, I'll help you out.
Exactly what he asked for, he got.
Right. Wow, that's it. Very good. Very good. Okay. Says the Medrash, Hakelev Shoya Mishamar Tsoina Shel Hevel, Hu Hoya Shemer Mechayas Osada Umayif HaShemayim. The dog that used to watch Hevel's flock, that same dog was standing there and watching over Hevel's nevela, Hevel's carcass, so that the Chayas Osada, the animals of the field and the birds of the Shemayim, wouldn't eat it or have anything to do with it. Fuck. So it was his body was sort of still intact. Adam and Chava were sitting and they were crying and they were in a veil over Hevel. They didn't know what to do with Hevel. Because they were not accustomed to doing Kvur, because this was the first person that died. They didn't know what to do. The Radal says that they knew, Hashem already told them before, that Ofer Atavela, Ofer Toshuv, you're made out of the dirt and you're going to go return to the dirt and go back to the element that you were created from. But they didn't know how that's going to happen. They thought it's going to happen like automatically. Like a person dies, then he'll turn into dirt. They didn't chop. They're like, no, you have to take a person and then dig the ground and put him in the ground, and then he'll like decompose and return to his dirt. They didn't realize that. They just thought that you're dirt, so you'll go to dirt. They thought it would happen automatically, and then they saw like, oh, it's not happening. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, they were confused, and it compounded their avails because they didn't know what to do.
So what did Hashem do?
Oh, Agav, I didn't mention the Radal says that could be that this is why there's an Indian of when you have an Avela, so the Torah says, like, Kelev Tashlichu Noi, so you should throw it to the Kelev. Because the Kelev was the one that made sure that the Avela of Hevel stayed intact. Well, so, yeah.
Mila can I get it?
Mitzrayim also, yeah. And also, he brings from the Yalkut Mechiri, that the word Avela is the Isis Hevel and Nun. So the word Nevela has the name, has the letters of the word Hevel in it.
So what did Hashem do? He brought something to the world, right?
We'll talk about it. We'll see in a moment. But what's it called? The Rabbi Leo Meisra has like a whole word over here. Like, why didn't Adam and Chava bury Hevel? So he brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin Memvavim and Beis has a shayla, why do we bury people? Is it because of a bizayon? Because it's a bizayon that for them to like, for like a dead person to be around, so you bury it so like it won't be around? Or because burying is like a kapara? So he says like, if it's bizayon, so then we should bury Hevel. But if it's kapara, so then fakir, we shouldn't bury him, because then people will think that Hevel did something wrong. Which granted, the Mekubalim say that Hevel did do something wrong, that when he brought his carbon and the Shekhinah came down to accept his carbon, so apparently the Mekubalim say that Hevel looked at the Shekhinah in a way that he wasn't supposed to look at it, like sort of like Nadav and Avihu, they compared to Nadav and Avihu, so that's why he was really Chayiv Misa, and that's why he got killed. That was his Oynish.
Wow.
But Pashas, Hevel didn't do anything wrong. So like, so they're saying, maybe we shouldn't bury him so that people won't think he did something wrong. And then they said, okay, fine, we're going to bury him because of the next thing.
Hi, Binyamin Eliezer.
A raven came. Shemes loy echad mechaver. A raven that one of its fellow ravens died came, and they saw that lakachaysay, that raven came and took its dead fellow raven, v'chafar ba'aretz utmana le'neim. And it dug in the ground and it buried the other raven in the ground. It buried one bird, buried another bird in the ground. Adam said, "Oh, I'm going to do like the raven." Miad lokach nevlasa shel hevel v'chafar ba'aretz utmana. He took the nevela of hevel and he dug in the ground and he hid it in the ground. This is why. Over here of Chaim Falaji, it says, what do you mean? Cain already dug it in the ground and put it in the ground, so I don't understand how he could dig it again. Why did he have to do that? But that's because Rav Chaim Falaji did take out the word chafar earlier, that the Radal and the other Mefarshim said you should take out the word chafar by Cain originally. Cain just hid it. He didn't bury it. Here we're talking about where they actually went and buried it. So here the Medrash is saying that they learned the Indian of burial from a raven. In the Medrash Tanchuma, it says that there were two Eifes Tahirim, two kosher birds. And Bereishis Rabbah says that Chayes V'Eifes Tahirim, kosher birds and kosher wild animals. And the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says that's why the Chayes and the Eifes were Zeicha to Kisui Adam, because they showed Adam Rishon how to bury Hevel. So we spoke about where do we learn Kisui Adam for. We spoke about it a few times already in the Perek of the Position. Perek Tes, we spoke about it, and Perek Tazayin. But that's a different message. But here we're saying it's from the ravens. And the Radal says he doesn't know exactly why Dafka ravens. So maybe because we find that ravens brought food for Elio and Novi, but I'm not sure exactly what the inner of ravens is.
Ravens are generally very, you know, they're very.
They're achzarim.
Yeah. And so Dafka to show that
even if you're an achzar, so you're supposed to bury people, right, something like that.
Right. Because it's a chesed. It's a
chesed.
It's a
chesed, yeah. Chesed shal emes. But we're almost done with the pack. B'shilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sachar Tev La'Oven Ba'ilam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave good schar, good reward to the ravens in this world. U'mas schar nosan lahem. What's the schar that HaKadosh Baruch gave the ravens? K'shehen Mayilidin Es B'neihem. When the ravens give birth to their children, Reinos and Levanim U'varchim Mipneihem. The ravens see their children, the baby ravens being hatched from the egg, and they run away from them because they're white. And they think that the kids of the raven, their kids are kids of a nachash. The Zayis Ranan and the Yalkut says that a baby bird, a baby raven, looks like a snake because it's like white. It didn't become black yet, or whatever. The Radal says that sometimes also you would find there's a Gemara in Chulin that says that the egg of a snake and the egg of a bird are sometimes very similar. And sometimes the snakes would come and dafka lay their eggs in the bird, what's it called, the bird nest.
Wow.
So it says that that's why they would get mixed up. But the point is that the mommy raven would run away when it sees its kids being born,
yeah,
right, and leave the baby to fend for itself, right?
Kadosh
Baruch would make it that these baby ravens, you know, they can't fly or whatever, they would have their food without any lack.
How?
I don't know. Doesn't say. V'loy oid. Not only that, ela shehem koyim litein mata ala oyetz v'kadosh baruch hu ayna yisan. Not only that, but the ravens, when they call Hashem to bring rain on the land, Hakadosh Baruch Hu listens to them, and He answers them. Mishnah says in the pasuk, "Nesin levehema lachboch." Hashem gives to a behema, to an animal, its its bread, levnei ayiv asher yikro, and to the sons of the raven, when it calls, Hashem heeds to their call and brings rain when the raven wants its rain. And but will be Messiah with a bracha that on Chag HaSukkos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dining us on the rain, and Hashem should listen to our prayers for rain. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should have rain this year.
All right, a good morning.